We abhor the recent event in the Yunnan Shoal.
Tensions flare at the China-ASEAN summit. It's November 22nd, 2021, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, robot waiters in Australia, COVID restrictions over an American holiday, technology helps crime victims recover stolen goods on their own, the vulnerable state of press freedom around the world, and lending ladies a helping hand in business. It's all on today's VOA Asia. A summit between China and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, was held without a representative from Myanmar. The consensus-driven bloc had agreed with China that Myanmar's envoy to Beijing would attend, but he proved to be a no-show. Malaysian Foreign Minister Saifuddin Abdullah.
The decision on the appointment of Myanmar's envoy to Beijing to be representative at the summit was made following the view from a few ASEAN countries that Myanmar's position remains as per what happened during the recent 38th to 39th ASEAN summit.
In October, ASEAN made the unprecedented decision to exclude Myanmar's junta leader over his failure to reach a peace deal after a bloody crackdown earlier this year. The absence of Myanmar, though, did not guarantee a frictionless summit. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte called on China to answer for a Coast Guard blockade of Philippine troop resupply on an island in the South China Sea. Manila and Beijing have competing territorial claims there.
We abhor the recent event in the Yunnan Shoal, and view with grave concern other similar development. This does not speak well of the relations between our nations and partnership.
Chinese President Xi Jinping sought to calm tensions, telling the ASEAN summit that Beijing will never seek to bully smaller countries.
Let us keep in mind people's yearning for a happy life and shoulder the mission of the times of maintaining peace and promoting development. Let's go forward hand in hand and continue to work hard. Let's build a closer community with a shared future and jointly create a more prosperous and beautiful region and world.
In 2016, the Philippines won a case at The Hague rejecting China's claims in the disputed South China Sea. But Duterte has chosen to court rather than to confront Beijing during most of his presidency.
Let us exercise utmost restraint and avoid escalation of tension. And most importantly, let us earnestly work towards the peaceful resolution of disputes in accordance with international law.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Relatives of COVID-19 dead question Japan's recovery at home policy. Australian mining magnate to help publishers strike content deal with Google. Vietnam puts high hopes on RCEP trade deal. Interpol election raises concerns about fair policing. And China reduces ties with Lithuania in Taiwan spat. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Chinese-made robots are taking orders at a Sydney restaurant. It's all part of an effort to address chronic staff shortages as Australia's economy begins to recover from multiple COVID-19 lockdowns. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The robot waiter is programmed to know the layout of the tables and delivers food from the kitchen. It's also multilingual, programmed to communicate in English and Mandarin. The so-called Bella Bot is built by the Chinese firm Pudu Tech. Each machine costs about $17,000. They can be leased for $34 per day for each device, or the equivalent of 2 hours' wages for restaurant staff. The devices are in use in other Australian restaurants, and imports into Australia appear to be unaffected by recent trade tensions between the two countries. Leanne Shai, the co-owner of the Matterhorn restaurant in Sydney, is delighted with her new mechanical staff member.
Oh, love the robot. Love the robot. She makes my life a lot easier. It's like a tower that's got four trays that'll carry eight of our dinner plates in one go. She's geo-mapped to the floor. The robot knows where all our tables are.
Australia's hospitality workforce has traditionally relied on international students. They have, however, been restricted from entering after Australia closed its borders to most foreign nationals in March 2020 in an effort to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Labour shortages are affecting not only hospitality in Australia, but a range of industries, from construction to information technology. Leanne Shai says she's tried for months without success to recruit workers.
It's the biggest issue we have at the moment. We've been running ads for chefs, for waiters, for kitchen hands for 6 months, and we've had zero applicants. We're offering above award wages, we're offering bonuses, we're offering everything you can think of to attract appropriate staff. And I'm not even getting inappropriate staff or untrained staff. I'm just getting nobody.
Labour shortages should ease when Australia reopens its borders to foreign nationals, but analysts expect many vacancies will remain unfilled. Employer groups have demanded that Australia increase its intake of migrant workers. Australia's official unemployment rate stands at 5.2%. But with more than 700,000 Australians without a job, there are calls for the government to boost domestic training programs and wages. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, celebrating Thanksgiving with a booster shot. Happening now in Asia. Chinese tennis star Peng Shui has held a video call with the president of the International Olympic Committee. The three-time Olympian had disappeared since making allegations of sexual assault against a senior Chinese official. According to an IOC statement, she thanked the organization for their concerns and explained that she is safe and well. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've joined us here on VOA Asia. As people in the United States prepare to gather for the Thanksgiving Day holiday, health authorities continue to push for vaccination to protect against COVID-19 and say all inoculated adults can get a booster shot. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
People are expected to travel at pre-pandemic levels this week as they visit loved ones for Thanksgiving, which kicks off the holiday season in the United States. COVID-19 infection rates are rising in the U.S., however, and health officials just endorsed all vaccinated adults receiving a booster shot. But gathering comes with risks, with 26% of Americans, including those 5 and older, yet to receive one shot, officials say. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the White House's chief medical advisor. He spoke to ABC this week.
If you're vaccinated, and hopefully you'll be boosted too, and your family is, you can enjoy a typical Thanksgiving meal, Thanksgiving holiday with your family. There's no reason not to do that. The thing we are concerned about is the people who are not vaccinated, because what they're doing is they're the major source of the dynamics of the infection in the community.
Some strategies to increase the vaccination rate are running into roadblocks. The Biden administration said it would pause, for now, plans to implement a workplace vaccine mandate for employers with 100 or more workers, pending a court challenge. Last week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, signed a law imposing fines on businesses and hospitals that require inoculation against COVID-19 without alternatives, and Disney World, a big employer in the state, put its worker vaccination policy on hold. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis spoke while signing the bill.
And I think it's something that's going to make a big, big difference for an awful lot of people. We are respecting people's individual freedom in this state.
the Biden administration's efforts to tie employment with vaccination has become a political issue, some say. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, appeared on CBS Face the Nation.
Now it's become a political fight at a national level, unfortunately. You're going to see some governors trying to position themselves on this issue, like you've seen in Florida. And you're going to see the federal government, the Biden administration, now fighting those states.
While efforts to vaccinate more people continue, some are ready to loosen rules around mask wearing. The mayor of Washington, D.C. said the city's indoor mask mandate would be lifted this week. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia. The first group of vaccinated tourists have arrived in Vietnam following nearly 2 years of tight border restrictions aimed at limiting the spread of COVID-19. More than 200 travelers from South Korea will spend their holidays in a designated resort to follow the virus safety protocols. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Congestion appears to be easing at some of Asia's largest ports ahead of the holiday season. Total traffic in Shanghai Ningbo has declined, and the Hong Kong Shenzhen ship count dropped about 10%, according to a Bloomberg analysis. But backlogs continue in California, where the ports of L.A. and Long Beach are seeing increased volume from the prior week. Some Americans are so frustrated with slow or no action by police that they're trying to recover stolen items all by themselves. They're using Bluetooth trackers, but officials say it's a risky strategy that is not endorsed by police and could put users in harm's way. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports.
Small business owner Allison Preedy experiments with a Bluetooth tracker to find her car. After what happened at a gas station in February, she wants some protection.
I, open my tank. I then come to get back in my car, and there's a man sitting there who has locked me out.
It was a carjacking.
The assailant, within 6 minutes of getting my car, had turned off my cell phone. And I was under the impression there was a tracking device with the Lexus. And so it was, I didn't realize that that is something that you have to activate through the dealer when you purchase the car.
But now there's a new defense. Bluetooth trackers that anyone can buy to locate their stuff. And they are booming in popularity. 300 million tags are projected to ship each year by 2023. Originally, the tags were designed to help people find lost items at home. But their range is now farther, creating opportunity and potential risk. Seattle photographer Mike Taylor found his stolen bicycle without waiting for police.
Parts of me were scared until I saw who had stolen it. And it was just somebody sleeping on a bench with their feet propped up on my bike.
Taylor grabbed the bike and pedaled off.
I think the inability for the police to step up and give it the same priority that I had given it gave me the initiative to take it back.
Several police departments we reached out to declined to comment. But the Virginia Association of Chiefs of Police says pandemic-strapped departments can't always get to every call.
Some are major deficits in police force, which makes you have to reorient your priorities. They do have to focus, for example, on violent crime and serious felonies.
This doesn't mean Bluetooth tag users should take risks.
People who are engaged in this kind of criminal activity often will fence those properties very quickly. So someone might innocently purchase your item and the tracking device is still active in it. And now you go and confront that individual and they have no idea the property is stolen. So you really need to contact law enforcement.
Some police officers, however, are still new to the technology, noted another theft victim.
Using an Apple AirTag, Dan Guido recovered a scooter stolen from him in Brooklyn, New York. He had to school officers about how it worked.
AirTags were brand new. They're only about a month or two old at this point. I gave them a demonstration. And once they realized what they were dealing with, and they said, oh, okay.
You know, there is a learning curve there, but primarily the larger agencies do have those detective units that are specialized in this kind of work, that do cybercrime work, that are going to be much more familiar with this.
Police eventually found Allison Privy's car, but she lost $10,000 worth of items that were inside. She wants to prevent a repeat.
It's hard because we don't want to put ourselves in danger for our possessions. I'm not much of a vigilante, but I try to be responsible for my items, and I would like to help aid law enforcement if possible.
And that's where her tracker comes in. Veronica Valderas Iglesias for VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
China says five of its citizens have been kidnapped from a mining operation in eastern Congo. The Chinese embassy in Kinshasa posted on its Chinese social media account that the five were abducted early Sunday. It urged all Chinese citizens to leave, saying the security situation in the area was, quote, extremely complex and grim, and that there was little possibility of providing aid in the event of an attack or kidnapping. Making headlines in Asia. Philippine Nobel Prize-winning journalist Maria Ressa has decided not to go into exile. Ressa faces legal challenges and government charges connected to her critical reporting on the government of President Rodrigo Duterte. She is currently appealing a 6-year prison sentence for a libel conviction. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. The courageous journalists honored at the 2021 International Press Freedom Awards show the increasingly vulnerable state of press freedom across the world. VOA's Julia Tabo has more.
A. Chan Nang is executive director and chief editor of the Democratic Voice of Burma, or DVB. His independent news outlet suffered in the aftermath of Myanmar's military coup when the junta seized power and started cracking down on media. Nang has been in exile in Norway, where DVB now broadcasts via satellite into Burma, also known as Myanmar. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
The military have arrested over 100 journalists after the coup in February 2021, and still about 50 people are still being detained in prison.
Including more than a dozen of his own journalists. Nang is one of the recipients of the Committee to Protect Journalists 2021 International Press Freedom Awards.
I would rather would think this award will highlight the plight of our journalists on the ground who are in prison, but also who are still struggling to report, risking their life, risking their future.
Also honored are journalists from Belarus, Guatemala, and Mozambique for their reporting at a time of dire conditions for media in their respective countries. Joel Simon is the executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
I think that our honorees recognize, and we recognize, that the environment for independent journalism has changed everywhere, including in the United States. The challenges are greater. That period of profound optimism that existed when I started this job 25 years ago, unfortunately, that's no longer the case.
Anastasia Mejia knows firsthand. The Guatemalan journalist was the only reporter covering a protest in her hometown of Joyabay in August of 2020. She was later detained.
I was deprived of my liberty for 36 days. The hearings were postponed in order to delay the process.
A judge ruled that she was not guilty, but Mejia is still afraid.
If I keep talking, they will kill me. They will destroy my family.
Joel Simon says that while he feels guardedly optimistic about the future of journalism, he is also a realist.
The press freedom or freedom of expression is the battle of the information age. And we must prevail. And we must know that we're in a really difficult and prolonged struggle.
As for A. Chan Nang, he also remains in the struggle for press freedom.
I think it's a really bright future. And now almost more than 10 months after the coup, the military never really able to silence the country and silence the people. And we're getting tons of information from around the country. The first time when I left Burma in 1988, it took 20 years before I could go back to Burma. And my hope is this time around it won't take that long.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Helping women move up in the world of business is the idea behind the Business Women's Giving Circle. Started in 2014, this philanthropy has already helped hundreds of women. Lilia Anisimova has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
In 2014, a few dozen caring and concerned businesswomen in the Washington, D.C. area created an organization designed to donate money to female-run companies that empower women. For starters, they wanted to fight the stereotypes that women don't belong in the spheres of science and technology, which have traditionally been considered men's domains.
The Giving Circle focused on, let's identify nonprofits who focus on girls and young women in STEM. And so our membership model is every year you invest into the circle. So for us, it's $1,100 each year. And the majority of that goes into a grant fund.
According to U.S. Census data, women make up about half of the workforce in the country. Yet in the spheres of science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, they still make up only 27% of all workers. In 1970, that number barely reached 8%. So there has been progress, however slow. Rosie Riveters is one nonprofit that received a grant from Business Women's Giving Circle. It helps girls aged 4 to 14 learn, play, and be creative, all while developing their skills in science and technology. So far, over 4,000 girls have taken part in Rosie Riveters programs. Its founder, Brittany Greer, says the funding from the Giving Circle has made a big difference.
It's covered everything from our core programming, right? So hands-on, interactive, after-school, in-school enrichment. And then the second round of funding happened right in the height of the pandemic. And the organization was very quick to respond to kind of the changing needs of the community and nonprofits.
There are 54 permanent members of Business Women's Giving Circle. All of them businesswomen who succeeded in their sphere and united to create something new and inspiring for the generation of girls and young women.
So since 2014, we've raised over $400,000. We also have created an endowment fund that has over $50,000, because as we grow that every year, eventually it will kick off funds and be self-sustaining. So since 2014, we've also helped 3,000 girls and young women, and we've worked with over 15 nonprofits in the area.
Progress is impossible without women's active participation, Dalton believes. So the least they can do is unite and support one another. For Lilia Anisimova in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
A beautiful cove in Thailand made famous in the Leonardo DiCaprio movie The Beach will reopen to the public almost 3 years after it was closed because of environmental damage. Maya Bay's white sand and crystal clear waters became a popular tourist destination after the film was released in 2000. As many as 5,000 daily visitors provided a welcome boost to the local economy, but damaged the island's ecosystem with plastic waste. Thai authorities closed it off to tourists in May 2018. When it reopens in January 2022, only 300 tourists an hour will be allowed on the island between the hours of 10 and 4 p.m. Indonesia may have La Nina to thank for fewer wildfires in the new year. For the second year in a row, the weather patterns conditions are forming across the Pacific Ocean. Experts say that above-average rainfall linked to the 2021 La Niña period resulted in less severe fire seasons and haze events, due in part to the wet conditions. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Amy Heibel, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy your day.